Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. Today's topic is how to develop confidence, courage, and character to be a leader, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to embrace your natural leadership abilities and develop the skills you lack. Today on the show, I talked to Peggy Sanchez-Mills, the Chief Executive Officer of Girl Scouts of New Mexico Trails, the premier national organization for girls. We talk about Boy Scouts' decision to include girls in their program, the impact of leadership programs on girls' long-term success, as well as Peggy's own story of becoming a leader through building confidence, courage, and character. The worksheet this week helps you articulate your leadership identity. It's from my interview with Tamara Thorpe in episode 22, if you want to go back and listen to it. I really love this worksheet because it walks you through a simple process of exploring your values, beliefs, and strengths in order to craft your leadership identity. You can find out more at wellwomanlife.com/KUNM. I want to let you know that the 2018 Well Woman Advocacy Day is coming up on January 31st in Santa Fe. You can register at wellwomanlife.com/events. And this is going to be a full day training on how to advocate for the issues that you care about, how to navigate your way around the roundhouse in terms of literally physically around the roundhouse, but also in terms of just how you get a bill introduced, how you analyze it, how you, you know, understand what's going on with the budget. It's going to be very, very informative, and I can't wait for that. That's January 31st. And you can continue the conversation with us in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. I'm so thankful for support from Natural Awakenings Magazine in New Mexico, your monthly green, healthy lifestyle publication. Each issue shares national and local cutting-edge information about health, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, green living, and the products and services that support a healthy lifestyle. And to High Desert Yoga, making the healing benefits of yoga available to all ages and abilities, offering beginning and advanced classes along with an array of specialty classes, workshops, teacher trainings, and retreats. Now to my interview with Peggy Sanchez-Mills. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's so nice to be here with you and to see where you are and hear a little bit about what you're up to. Peggy, we heard your bio in the introduction. I want to step away from that, all the titles and all the stuff that you know, have in your bio, and really just ask you, who are you in the world today? Who is Peggy Sanchez-Mills?
Now, that's an interesting question. You know, it's interesting when somebody point blank asks you that question. I think if I would lead off with an advocate for girls and women. And I've spent most of my life really in some capacity helping girls and women get ahead in life. Clearly, I'm a mother and a wife and a daughter and a granddaughter. All those other important roles have contributed to who I am. But my sense of social justice and passion for girls and women is really my calling card. Mm. Oh, absolutely. You know, I think one of the misnomers about Girl Scouts, like any old organization that's been around for a while, we're 105 years old, you know, that experience is very personal. So what you might have experienced is going to be very different from another girl. But clearly in that journey toward leadership, you're really building courage, confidence, and character to decide what you're going to do in life to make the world a bit better. I mean, that's our mission. And it can come out in so many ways because in Girl Scouts, we are girl-led. We have taken all the best aspects of how girls learn, and girls learn very differently than how boys learn. Girls are much more engaged when they are leading the process, when they're learning through cooperative experiences. And they're really in a place where they're engaging more so in the community at a younger age than boys are. And so when you look at the Girl Scout model, it might be that a girl learns through the cookie program. You know, she's developing a marketing strategy. She's developing goals. She's developing financial projections as to what she's going to do to earn X amount so that she can then transfer into going to camp or participating in the other program that she wants. So there's multiple ways that girls learn leadership skills. But the fundamental underlying issue is to use their voice in ways that they believe they can contribute differently.
I love that. You know, I often talk on the Well Woman Show and just in the Well Woman community that I run about historically how women have been viewed. We've been valued through two different things, basically the way we look and the way we nurture. And if you think of girls and women throughout history, that's usually, you know, the value that's put on women and girls has to do with how we look or how we nurture, having kids and all of that. And so really bringing in things that don't have to do with those at an early age is so very important. Has that been part of the mission for the 105 years, or has that changed over time?
Oh, boy, you are asking fascinating questions because there's, you know, I think when I go back, and I've been in this business for well over 35 years, so I've seen a view. I'll never forget that era when we had to dress like men to succeed, you know, our pinstripe suits and our little bow ties and all of that. And I said, thank goodness that's behind us. I celebrate girls and women that dress their unique style that celebrates who they are. But then I also think we have to put into context that reality of what that professional world looks like. There are still bumpers out there. And I do think in Girl Scouting, we do certainly go down that path with what is appropriate and what is not in the work world. We had a fashion show after an anti-bullying program that was absolutely fantastic. And the girls did dress to celebrate. We're women. How wonderful to dress up and wear makeup, and there are times for that, and there's times that it's not so. But I never want to see us go back to that place where we were, that we felt like we had to dress like men to succeed. I do find another thought that comes to my mind was we were actually sitting in front of a funder that was comprised of a number of women engineers. And the question was asked, are we teaching girls how to dress appropriately in a room full of engineers? And that was a quite profound question, like, what does an engineer look like today? And so we really explored what that meant when we do a lot of STEM programming. And what we did...
STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, and math.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. And we've taken the girls to the labs. We have board members that are involved, Sandia Labs as well as Los Alamos. And it was wonderful to me to see the female engineers finding their own unique style. So I think when we look at girls of today, we're talking about choices and options for their leadership style and to celebrate finding out what that unique style is. It's not a cookie cutter, as we well know. We can look around and see all different types of women that succeed in life, but it really is helping that girl determine what it is for her.
Peggy, I want to ask you also about the idea that you brought up earlier that girls learn differently from boys. And, you know, clearly the Girl Scouts is for girls. There was a recent decision by the Boy Scouts of America to include girls in their program. What is your opinion of that? And how is that going to impact Girl Scouts?
Well, first off, I'm not the least bit concerned that it's going to impact Girl Scouts negatively. I think the thing that has been most curious to us, there are 112 councils across the country, and we all have various jurisdictional issues. We cover here in New Mexico, 2/3 of the state of New Mexico. For us, I think the question was why? You know, there's been no evidence that we've seen to date from the Boy Scouts to say we truly care about leadership styles for Girl Scouts. We have this magic curriculum that's going to help girls, you know, achieve complete equity, to get the fair wage, you know, all those things that are important to girls. We're not seeing anything like that. So it really begs the question of why. And so I have to say to you, looking at it from the business model, the Boy Scouts have some pretty significant financial challenges. And it's all public record. It's all on their 990. And there have been quite a few settlements over the years, well in excess of multi-million dollar settlements. They've raised their membership dues to essentially help fund their future liability claims. So when you go through, there are a couple of balloon mortgages that are due for their big jamboree site that they built, I believe, in West Virginia. So when you go through the business model, there are some serious financial challenges that they're facing. Now, I understand as a business person that all of us have to remain solvent. But I always try to balance our business decisions first and foremost with the mission. So I'm really left with this sense that it's a mission creep. Why are we attempting to balance some shortcomings on the backs of young girls? So I think that is one question that has to be looked at. I would have felt better had they put something out that said, these are the way that girls learn. These are the things that we can contribute to helping girls further their futures. And that has not happened. There's been nothing at all that has been given other than the fact that they believe opening it up for girls will be more convenient for families.
Okay, lots to think about there. And I know I spoke with you briefly for the pre-interview conversation that we had, and it was clear that there was no collaboration on the decision. So it remains to be seen across the country and in New Mexico how this is going to play out. Peggy, we're going into a segment called Superpowers for Success. And it gives me the opportunity to ask you some more personal questions so that you can share some of your life experiences, tips, and advice with the listeners in the hopes that it will inspire and inform other upcoming and current women leaders. The first question I want to ask you is, what does success in life mean for you?
You know, again, I think you can't do this work for 30-some years and not think about that proverbial, what if there's one thing, what would that plaque look like? And for me, it really is I contributed well to helping build a better world for women and girls. That's my goal, and that's essentially what I've been working on for 35 years.
And what about on the personal side of things? In Well Woman Life, we talk about three life domains. We talk about the personal, the professional, and the public. Public meaning community, you know, women sitting on boards, leadership, running for office, that kind of thing. So what about your definition of success in those other areas?
Yeah, the definition of success for me has changed over the years. I think many of us have gone through that place in life where if you've been raised in the 50s, you look at that kind of Ozzie and Harriet type lifestyle. So you have this vision that you'll be married forever. When that didn't happen, I got to that place where I thought, you know, if I ever marry again, I will marry somebody that complements my life rather than that responsibility kind of factor. And I got there. And I've been very happy for 31 years in a second marriage with a man that completely supports me as a woman and supports my career and my passion for career. So that was a very important aspect for me. I think another obvious place for many women that have chosen to have children, you get to a place in life where, you know, you start out when they're little and, oh gosh, they're going to go to Harvard and they're going to be the next president. They're all brilliant, right? And then you get to a place that you say, you know, I just want my children to be good, kind people that can take care of themselves and certainly give back to the community, because I truly believe you have to always be part of the community to make the world better for all. It's not somebody else. It's all of us together. So I am pleased that I have that balance in my life as well.
Mm. Nice. And Peggy, when did you know you were really good at what you do?
Well, good is relative. I think you might as well retire if you think you're good, right? Because I think there always better be an edge. There always should be a second guessing. Did I make the right decision? Did I do right by this organization? Did I do right based on what the board of directors is wanting to achieve? So you always have to second guess yourself. However, I think you get to a place that you have confidence in yourself to know that you do that due diligence and you'll continue to always ask. But at the end of the day, you have confidence in yourself that you'll promptly land on your feet to the good of the whole. And so I definitely feel like I've managed to get to that place in life. You know, I oftentimes get asked by younger staff, you know, do I really have to speak publicly? And I say, look, I still get nervous before I go on a radio or have to speak in front of a group. And you should, because if you don't get a little bit nervous and you're too cocky, and then you're not learning, you're not thinking about different ways to get that message out there. So I think you always have to have that edge along with that confidence that you can land on your feet majority of the time.
And we talk a lot about self-care and taking care of ourselves as women because we're so busy, right? We're running organizations, we're leading things, we're running for office, we're running a family, household, everything. What is a personal habit that you have that contributes to your well-being?
Well, I love to ride horses. I don't know why I keep sharing this story. I should probably hide it. But I have this compulsion to say, you know, I got bucked off the horse for the first time I guess it was just Monday, and I'm walking. And, there was a moment that I thought, gosh, should I have done something differently and avoided this? And I thought, no, because for me, it's about continuing to challenge myself. I like to hike. I love to be outdoors. I love to ride horses, and I'm going to continue doing that. And so to me, it's an ongoing continuation of challenging ourselves to stay physically active and engaged. I don't get too concerned about, I'm not a gym person. It has to be integrated into my lifestyle and be part of my everyday life. The other is that I know when I hit a wall, I give myself permission to say no in a way that is authentic. Before, I think I used to come up with, well, I got to work this weekend, or, oh, I got something to do. Now I just simply say, no, I have a family commitment. And oftentimes that family commitment is with me, myself. And I have no problem with that. It's like I had to be honest with myself that I needed time alone. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I love that. We talk a lot about that on the Well Woman Show, saying no and really drawing those boundaries, because you have to protect that space for yourself. I want to ask you, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Well, one of my funniest stories, I guess, I went to Sombra Del Monte Elementary here in Albuquerque. And I remember my first grade teacher was a woman named Peggy Piper. And she told my mother that I was just tragically shy and that I needed to learn to use my voice. And my mom thought that was hilarious, because I truly wasn't shy at home, but I was shy in the community. So fast forward, I was probably maybe one of my first jobs. I guess it was probably 1981, and I was running a teen pregnancy program and had to speak in front of the Kiwanis Club. And I was nervous, no doubt about it. I practiced in front of the mirror what I was going to say. I must have gone through it tragically at least 45 times, okay? And then when I got in front of that group, I realized that I knew something about teen pregnancy that no one in that room knew. I had been a pregnant teen myself, so I had experienced it. I certainly had been running this teen pregnancy program, so I had hundreds of girls that I had interacted with, and I had knowledge. And when I realized that I had something that they needed to learn from me, all of a sudden that voice came. So it took me a while, though, to realize I had the capacity, but I had to get to that place that I believed in myself. Mm-hmm. And that really happened at that moment. Kiwanis Club, St. Petersburg, Florida, 1981.
And that was your superpower, finding your voice. And what do you do when you get knocked down or have a setback? Do you have a process that you use in order to overcome that and not let it completely derail you?
Yes, I think at this point I'm very attuned to, I don't know what you want to call it, if it's a inner voice, a second voice, something. But what I'm aware of is if somebody is making me feel defensive, it's because I have something I need to fix. So it's not that that person's making me feel defensive, it's that I need to own it. And so without a doubt, I will usually kind of take that out. I love to do spreadsheets, not on a computer, but I have to physically write. And I still do that crazy old thing of here's the pro, here's a con. And I literally map it out. You know, why am I feeling this way? What nerve did this person step on? And 99% of the time, I get to that place that I realize that there's something that I needed to fix.
Interesting. And what advice would you give yourself, Peggy, when your 25-year-old self?
My 25-year-old self, you're essentially saying, what would I tell myself back when I was 25? Mm-hmm. You can't do it all in 1 week, 1 day, 1 year. You're building upon I think it's an overstated term, the shoulders of the women before us. However, when I was hired in my first CEO position, I truly didn't want the job. They kept hiring and firing who was essentially my boss. And I remember when the board came to me and said, would you take this position? I said, well, you know, I truly can't. I couldn't do any worse than the people that you guys have hired before. So I'll go ahead and do it for 1 year. And the board chair said, just remember, and none of these names matter, okay? But for Marilee Forrester built the foundation of this organization. Carol Fisher put up the walls. Cam Kilgrow put on the roof. And it is your job to bring life back to this organization once again. And that has never left me. That it's not about me. I'm a leader at a small point in time that has contributed, hopefully, in a positive way to those that truly came before, and certainly, more importantly, those that come beyond my time. And I think that's the biggest lesson that I would have loved to had learned at a younger age.
And last question for you. Do you identify as a feminist?
What I am is a woman that passionately believes in equity for women and for girls. And I truly think that we squander certainly 50% or more of our talent in this world by not having more women at the decision-making tables.
You know, on this show, I define feminism as working for social, political, and economic equality. Do you teach those things in Girl Scouts?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, you're going to hear it called civic engagement here. You certainly are going to hear girls talk informally about what's unfair in the world and what they're going to do to fix that. It is very much a part and parcel of what happens here every day.
Peggy, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you. I love to talk about this issue. It's very important to me. Thank you.
That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your Well Woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @WellWomanLife. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.